Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, Yamaraj instructs his messengers, text number 11. Shri Bhadarayana Ir Uvacha Iti Deva Saaprishta Prajasam Yamano Yamaha Pritaksva Dutan Pratyaha Smaran Padam Bhujam Hare Shri Bhadarayani Uvacha. Shukadeva Goswami said, Iti, thus, Deva, the demigod, Sa, he, Aprishta, being questioned, Praja, Samyamanaha, Yamaha. Lord Yamaraj controls the living entities. Pritaha, being pleased. Svadutan, to his own servants. Pratyaha, replied. Smaran, remembering. Pada Ambujam, the lotus feet. Hare, of Hari, the personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, thus, having been questioned, Lord Yamaraj, Supreme Control of the Living Entities, was very pleased with his order carriers because of hearing from them the holy name of Narayan. He remembered the lotus feet of the Lord and began to reply. Purport. Srila Niyamaraj, the Supreme Controller of the Living Entities in terms of their pious and impious activities, was very pleased with his servants because they had chanted the holy name of Narayan in his dominion. Yamaraj had to deal with men who are all sinful and who can hardly understand Narayan. Consequently, when his order carriers uttered the name of Narayana, he was extremely pleased, for he is also a Vaishnava. The Yamadutas were quite fortunate, because after all, they got to see the Vishnu Dutas. How many of us have seen the Vishnu Dutas lately? How many of us have seen the Yamadutas? But Ajamil got to see not only the Yamadutas, which discouraged him from any further sinful activities, but he also saw the Vishnu Dutas, which inspired him to perform devotional service. So it's quite a combination. On the other hand, we find Yamaraj hearing from the Yamadutas the holy name of Lord Narayan and becoming pleased. So that means that Krishna is always non-different from his name, and by the process of association or remembrance, then we can actually associate with Krishna to different degrees. The Yamadutas were simply repeating what they had heard Ajamil utter, namely the name of Narayan. And although they were uttering the same name of Narayan, they were not as accustomed to being Krishna conscious as Yamaraj. And therefore, devotional service is a process, although the activities may be the same, but the actual experience is different according to one's consciousness. We're not, of course, we try to change the activities so that we can develop the proper consciousness. Generally, it's easier to change activities than it is consciousness. So we're trying to do activities like, for instance, chanting the holy name, and at the same time do the activities which will actually change our consciousness. So that when we chant Hare Krishna, we'll remember Krishna. Of course, even remembering Krishna is not sufficient. We also have to remember Krishna with an attitude, with a proper attitude. So all of that, as I explained before, is all based upon our perspective. We're getting so much information by hearing the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, but unless we try to see through the eyes of the scriptures, Shastra Chakshus, then we remain in the same situation. We may be so many, well, not so many. There are people in India, they can tell you, they can quote every sloka in the Bhagavad Gita in Sanskrit. But they don't believe in Krishna. They don't believe they don't believe Krishna is God. And even if they believe that Krishna is God, they believe there are so many other gods also. Therefore, although they can quote the Bhagavad Gita, they have so much information, but they have no perspective on what's actually the Bhagavad Gita is all about. Ukramantam sitim vapi bunjana vagunanvita vimura nanapashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. That the foolish, they cannot understand how the living entity quits his body, nor what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. In other words, we have to train our eyes with knowledge, or else we can't really make any substantial progress. Unfortunately, we don't have very much taste for knowledge, because we think knowledge is something far, far apart from what my interest is. In other words, we think knowledge is something dry and it's all philosophical and has really nothing to do with myself, and it's just some kind of like theory that has no real value in terms of my practical life. So with that kind of perspective, which is a gift of Maya, Maya definitely gives us a special gift to see things like that, so we don't have to take Krishna consciousness too seriously. We can relegate it. Oh, I like it when people are nice to me. That's our philosophy. And when people start telling me philosophy, then indirectly they're criticizing me that I'm not controlling my mind. They'll start talking about the three modes. And they even hint that maybe I'm a little bit of ignorance. How dare they? And they'll even criticize the little passion I have, which is helping me progress in something. My inspiration. We think passion is inspiration. I'm inspired by passion. I do so many things because of my passions, what I like to do. And when I get tired, of course I fall asleep. That's normal, isn't it? And as far as goodness, well, I'm a good person. Everyone knows I'm a good person. Because I am who I am, I'm good. And that's all the philosophy I really have to know, except for maybe a little philosophy of how to digest prasadam. That would be helpful. Anything else besides that has no practical value in my life. No, to actually see the perspective that I'm actually eternal, but I'm more or less floating in an illusion. That's quite a helpful perspective. That will make us a little humble, at least, that I haven't quite reached perfection of existence, that I have a little ways to go. And therefore I should try to make some effort to actually getting out of this misconception, floating around as if I'm this body, the whole world is made for my existence, and I should try to figure out how to get the maximum amount of comfort and avoid whatever, at any cost, any discomfort in my existence. So we can choose which perspective we want. Oh, I'm satisfied with my existence, and add a little Hare Krishna to it, and that will make it even better. Or I should actually get out of these misconceptions, that I should actually realize who I am. I should actually there is a possibility that even this lifetime I can directly meet Krishna along with his eternal associates. But I have to pay attention. I have to pay attention to the knowledge at first, and then I have to use my brain, which no one has ever encouraged us to use. Matter of fact, if we go to school long enough, they tell it, don't think. Just repeat. You are the body. Repeat. I am the body. Very good. You get 100. You get an A on the test. Don't think about what's going on in the world. Don't think even the minimum how your body is changing and that this is not going to be forever and ever existence. I'm not going to live in Slovenia in three lifetimes of Brahma for now. Now, very shortly, we're going to have to quit this body, and we can't take Slovenia with us. You got to leave your identity card behind. And if we take birth again in Slovenia as one of the trees here, what is the value? What was the value of our existence? What did we accomplish? What was it all? How did I utilize my energy? So, something about perspective. Based upon the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, then we can actually try to act in such a way as to get out of our mistaken consciousness. And how's that? When I chant Hare Krishna, I can actually chant to Srimati Radharani and Krishna as if they were actually there, and I'm trying to lovingly chant so they recognize that I'm actually trying to engage in their devotional service. Krishna is not happy to see us morose when we're chanting or inattentive. He's not thinking, well, at least he's chanting. He gets a B minus. At least he's getting his rounds done. And therefore we give him some credit. No, the spiritual existence is that of pure, unalloyed love. And everyone's completely fixed on Krishna. They don't have to practice chanting rounds every day. The gopis don't wake up and start chanting their rounds. They're always in love with Krishna. But we don't love Krishna. We're not even aware of Krishna. And when we hear about Krishna, we're not always so pleased as Yamaraj. Especially when we hear philosophy, because the philosophy implies that there's something wrong with my life is somewhat of a mistake, I'm mistaken in my life. I'm walking around with my false ego, and it's not encouraged. It's not so good. And if worse, is I have a false ego and I'm actually watering my false ego. Instead of watering the plant of devotion, of being a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, I'm watering my false ego. I want to become more popular. I want to become more wealthy. I want to become more materially educated. I want to become so many things. And this simply puffs up my false ego. It's already puffed up. My false ego is so big. Anyone touches my... you hit my false ego. How dare you touch my false ego, you rascal. So we've cultivated this false ego and it kind of surrounds us. And everyone knows, don't get near his false ego. He's very sensitive. Just stroke. Yes, you're very nice, Prabhu. Yes. Don't worry. It's okay. But this philosophy is saying there's something wrong with us, and we don't like that. We don't like it when anyone tells us, and even if a book tells us, well, who's this book to tell me who I am? So we have to come to the platform when we hear the name of Narayan, then we actually become joyful. And that's only obtained, as it says, Trinadapi Sunichena Tura Iva Sahishnuna Amanina Madhadena Kirtini Yaksidahari. We have to become humble. But when do we become humble? We have to become humble all the time. Humble servants of Krishna, realizing that we're in Krishna's kingdom. And right now we're in the Krishna's kingdom of the illusory energy. And we're floating in it. So we're in a very precarious predicament. And the only shelter is Krishna. Krishna consciousness and the holy name are our only shelter. So we should feel some uneasiness in the material existence. If we feel uneasy, that's very good. If we're feeling, oh, the sun's out, everyone's happy, they're playing tennis, they're skating, everything is cool, now I feel good. Oh, that's very bad. We start feeling good in the material world. The flowers are out. Everything's so good. I'm good. You're good. Everyone's good. No, we're bad and everyone else is bad too. So we have to become good by becoming Krishna conscious. So we smell the flowers and they remind us of Krishna. Krishna says, Punya Ganda Prativyam Cha Tejas Chasmi Bibhavaso. So the flowers are not bad. You wicked flowers, you smell too good. You're trying to deviate me from Krishna consciousness. Maya, you're all Maya. Start pulling up the flowers in the park. No, the flowers are not bad if we remember that Krishna is the original fragrance of the earth. The nice smell of the flowers is coming because it's coming from Krishna. That's the smell of Krishna. So we add Krishna and smell Krishna. Remember Krishna when we're smelling the flowers. Then that's very auspicious. And we're hearing sounds and we're remembering that these sounds are Krishna on the sound in ether. Then that we remember Krishna, then it's very good. And if we forget Krishna, then everything is bad. It doesn't matter how good we think it is. It's not good because our consciousness is not good. It may be good. There's nothing bad in the material world. But our forgetfulness of Krishna is quite bad because when we forget Krishna, we forget everything else in its proper perspective. If the sun's not there, there's no sense of saying everything's illuminated. Everything isn't. If there's no sun, there's simply darkness. And if Krishna is not there, everything is dark. Our consciousness is dark. And although we may be confident, I'm not going to see the Yamadutas anytime soon because I've chanted enough rounds. And the Yamadutas come and say, well, here, check my bead bag. See? Go away. But that's not the perfection of life, is to avoid the Yamadutas. The perfection of life is to meet at least the Vishnudutas. So that will only be obtained by a sincere effort in the right direction, with intelligence, with the proper perspective. And we're going quickly. We think we're making so much progress, but we're going the wrong direction. Just like when the devotees first joined, as I said, we thought that if you were initiated, then you were top of the world. You were a pure devotee. And so many devotees got initiated, became quite common. No more prestige getting initiated. Then you had to get second initiation. Oh, you're a Brahmin. Obeisances, Prabhu. I didn't know you were a Brahmin. Fall at your feet. Can I touch them? No, I'm a Brahmin. I can't get contaminated. Then everyone became a Brahmin. Okay, we can't become a sannyasi. Only one sannyasi in the movement at the beginning. Maybe a few sannyasi. Then, if you became a temple president, again, fall at your feet. Straw in my teeth. Or candy cane in my teeth, whatever. Offering obeisances, flattering you 1,000 times. Oh, controller of one temple. Please accept my references. Okay, so so many devotees became temple presidents. But if you got a big car, he's a temple president. But he's not an ordinary temple president. He has a big car. And it went on. Then it was sannyasi, GBC, initiating guru. Soon it'll be avatar. Oh, he's an avatar. Shakti Aves. So this upward mobility, still it's another upadhi. We're just adding upadhis. And if it's not being upward mobility for service, to perform more service, then we're simply wasting our time. We're simply expanding our false conception of who we are. Before I was just a humble bhakta, doing humble service, but I didn't want to do humble service. I wanted to do big service. But actually big service means to do humble service. So we've gone so far, and what's the next thing after becoming an avatar? Well, finally I met the girl who I was looking for, and now we can be Radha and Krishna together. Just like I mentioned, I was actually one of the top book distributors in the world. I only got up to 18 or 19 at that time, but I was consistently somewhere around there. But I was distributing with the top devotees in the world at that time. And they were always number 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and 5, and I was 19, 20, something like that. So one time I was at an airport with another devotee who was one of the top distributors in the world. And every day we'd go out, he'd do twice as many books as I would do. But his technique, as I mentioned, was rather interesting. In other words, he was a tall, nice-looking brahmachari. And his technique was to stop the most beautiful women who passed by. And if you watch them, when he stopped the lady, it looked like Romeo had finally met Juliet. And after some time, Romeo convinced Juliet to take a book and give a nice donation. And then so many Juliets passed by and Romeo met them on the way through the airport. And then one day, he finally met the Juliet he was looking for, the real one. And that was the end of his book distribution. So he's a big, big preacher in the world. And it didn't, because he had the wrong perspective on what he was doing, therefore it didn't last. So we have to perform devotional service, but we have to do it in the right perspective. At least that. And that will give us some impetus to go in the right direction. If we're feeling, as Prabhupada said, if we're feeling morose sometimes, it's simply the lack of Krishna consciousness. So the idea is not to change what we're doing. Oh, I don't like this temple. I don't feel good in the temple. I don't like my service. I don't like this association. I don't like this. I don't like that. Change, change, change. But actually we have to change our consciousness, our perspective on things. We're not going to say, well, Krishna consciousness. What's within our possibility is change our perspective, see things differently. That's what Bhagavad Gita is for. I'm in distress. Why am I in distress? It's not by accident. It's because I'm my false ego. Because of my misconceptions. So Bhagavad Gita is essential to know Bhagavad Gita thoroughly so we can understand things in a right perspective. It's not enough just to read Bhagavad Gita. It's necessary to see how Bhagavad Gita actually pertains to my consciousness. It's a psychological book of consciousness. Then if I see things properly, then I can go and work in such a way as to develop, what are we trying to develop? Relationships with devotees. We're not trying to develop my positions. We're not trying to develop my accomplishments. I'm not trying to develop my gains. We're not trying to avoid our loss. We're trying to develop relationships with devotees. And ultimately, not only with devotees, but with every living entity, trying to help every living entity become conscious of Krishna, actually become a servant of the devotees. Change my consciousness into that of a servant of the devotees, rather than looking at the devotees, oh, male, female, big, small, intelligent, stupid, whatever designations we have. Oh, I can't be your servant, Prabhu. I have initiation. And you don't. You're my servant. Call me Prabhu. Double Prabhu. I call you Prabhu, but twice. One, two, three. Prabhu, Prabhu. I need a double Prabhu. And upward and up. See everything except for reality. So unless we feel ourselves be servants, then we're just wasting our time here. If we feel ourselves to be the master of anything, we can't make any progress because we're disconnected from the actual the line of teachers who are all intense servants of Krishna. So unless we feel ourselves intense servants of Krishna, then when we hear the holy name, we think, oh, who's this Narayan? Four handed. It's kind of strange, isn't it? Four hands. Lives in some flower planet. Yeah, right. Walks around with a conch shell wheel, club and lotus flower. Sure, right, okay. Anything else? So it's easy to dismiss Narayan when you hear the Narayan. What to speak of actually serving Narayan? So Yamaraj is a servant. He's in the Yama Loka, and he's serving, he's condemning people to death. Well, not to death, but he's condemning people to hell. That's his job. But he's a pure devotee. He's doing it on behalf of Narayan. He's not thinking, oh, I finally got this position. So many people are going to come. I'm going to get even. Hey, first guy. Hey, I remember you. Looks familiar. Oh, that's right. You took my glove gym in the other day. You're a finished boy. Am I going to get you? No, his perspective is he's a pure devotee of Krishna. And therefore he loves Krishna. He loves all living entities. And his job is to punish people so they become purified, so they'll get a better chance the next time to become Krishna conscious. But when his own servants utter the name of Narayan, he became very happy because it helped him remember Narayan even more deeply. It purified the whole atmosphere, and he could appreciate that even his servants had become servants of Narayan. Although indirectly, they're always servants of Narayan by serving him, who's a servant. Yamaraj is not some ordinary person. He's one of our Mahajans. So anyhow, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have a small question is about Bhakti Sarasamrita Sindhu, whereby Six Rupa Goswami they spoke, they say that while you are offering flower or garland to spiritual master, according to Prabhupada say that you must offer something with scenting, you know.
Why do we offer these flowers without any scent? Is that the question?
Okay, is it offenses or is not offenses? I don't know.
I don't know. I thought it was just I lost my sense of smell. They have some scent there.
Yeah, so it was confused me when I was reading, you know.
Yeah, well, generally speaking, when Rupa Goswami was writing Nectar of Devotion, flowers had scents. But we've progressed now. We've gotten rid of all those horrible scents. Now we don't have to worry about scented garlands anymore. No, it's just we want scented flowers, but for that, probably we have to start growing our own. Because the earth is not so abundant nowadays. People have depleted it, especially by using all these insecticides, pesticides, herbicides, peoplecides, everything. And therefore, all the actual original fragrance of the earth has been depleted by all these chemicals. Anyhow, but that's life. We got to offer something. So at least we try to offer something which is the best we can. But these are nice. These are
okay. Even, my second question was for you speak about Brahmanas and pure devotees. So I was needed to ask about this because almost in our society, I hear the words they say non-devotee. Always is pronouncing from our society. They say, no, this is the non-devotee. So that classification, how do you classify that non-devotee? Because it's a music in our society. These, they are non-devotees.
Why would you think they are devotees?
I don't know. Sometimes
they are devotees, but they're not devotees of Krishna. So they're devoted to their tongue, their belly, their genitals. They're devoted to their material existence, but they don't know anything about Krishna. So even ourselves, we're aspiring to become devotees. It's not so cheap to become a devotee. First, we have to become free from all attachment and all aversion. We have to see everyone as a spiritual soul. Then we can begin the process of actually being a devotee. Then we can actually enter into real devotional service. But now we're practicing. And by this practicing, by the association of Krishna with devotion, we're becoming purified of our attachments and aversions and learning how to relate to others in terms of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we're gradually becoming qualified to becoming real devotees. But those who are practicing simply sense gratification, that obviously they're not only not devotees, but they're not on the path of devotional service. But our job, our service is not to just criticize them, it's to assist them into becoming, to taking to the path of pure devotional service. Anything? Yes.
Yes, Maharaj, thank you for the lecture. I have one question regarding hell. As you mentioned, hell is for purification of souls. I mean, my question is maybe more technical. Does this mean that through pain the false ego decreases, or how is this purification done? I mean, when souls are put in hell.
How is it done? Say you're a big professor or you're a president of a dictator in a big country, like, for instance, Stalin's daughter at the time of his leaving his body said that Stalin was pointing upwards, saying that, you know, as if there were some people coming and taking him away, which undoubtedly there were. So now you're suddenly in hell. You're on this thorny tree and your skin is being ripped off. You feel a little more humble. Can't tell the Yamadutas, hey, Yamadutas, you know, go get me my slippers. They rip your... No, you feel humble. So humility, you start realizing you're not the supreme controller. Something else is going on here beyond your control. So you lose the sense of being the supreme controller. So that's purification. I was told that they fed Stalin rat poison to kill him. And his big Birla, I think his name was, the head of his secret service, who was assassinating Birla, they used to come up with a list of people to execute, and Stalin would just sign it. So at the time of leaving his body, they fed it to him. To Stalin, he became unconscious. And they were all celebrating. The wicked witch is dead, the wicked witch is dead. And then he came back to consciousness. Oh, sir, you know. Suddenly came all humble, oh, so good that you're back, and then he died. Ah! So this is, everyone is thinking that they're controllers, and when some bigger force comes about, they were so happy, now we're in control, he's dead. And when he came back, oh no, sir, I'm just your humble servant. Oh, you're dead again, all right. So when the bigger animal, when the bigger power is there, when we become aware of it, then we become a little humble. In the absence of the bigger force, then we think we're the biggest force. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande.